You could probably almost use that one for an auger out digging holes in your yard, you know, with a 9-inch auger bit. Big as that thing was. But, no, that's... I've used some bigger drills, Tom, but they were in drill presses, you know, and, you know, they really didn't need to be that big, but they were. And even in a drill press, if you don't have those things clamped down in a vise good somewhere, that them things will spin around on you too. So anytime you're using a drill, you got to be careful there. You know, we don't think about them hurting us, but they will. One time I was out, this was years ago, I was drilling something that was plastic, and I was making something for one of the kids, and I had my hand underneath the work, and I had, you know, one hand underneath it and one hand on top, and I started drilling down through it, and I stopped, and I said, I better move my finger, and I moved my finger a little bit. And started drilling, and I didn't realize it, but my hand was sweaty, and my finger slipped, and that drill went right into my finger, and I tell you what, that ain't fun either.
Wrapped skin on my arm around the drill before. It hurts. Yeah, Gary, the machine shop I worked at was 300,000 square feet, and they had, two or three, and the big 6-foot and 8-foot radial arm drill presses, and they would use bits 4 and 6 inches, big spade bits, to drill into. Well, there one time they were drilling into Inconel, which is very, very extremely hard metal, with a real high melting point. It's a real hard type of well, they use it in the aerospace industry a lot. And boy, it just eat them tools up. But if they'd get a curly Q going on those things, you know, as they were drilling into it, and one of those things would come around, it could cut you in half.
No doubt in my mind about that. But, you know, maybe they didn't let you get that close to the work when they were drilling those kind of holes. I wouldn't want to be out there close to it.
No, they were extremely huge pieces of equipment, Gary. And we had a machine shop and a structural shop there all together, and then a valve division where we made butterfly valves up to 144 inches in diameter, Gary. So they used some big drill bits.
OS within 0 TR in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Gosh, Tom, 144 inches. That is huge. Of course, I'm glad the people that are out there that can do that sort of stuff, but I'm not one of them. Gabriel said he wasn't good with wood. I'm halfway decent with wood, but... when it comes to metal fabrication, I leave that to the experts, because some of them machines that they have to use, I mean, I can use a wood lathe and stuff like that, but, you know, some of the different machines that you worked on and used in your business there that you were in, I wouldn't know anything about. So I'll stand back and watch you guys do it, and I may learn something.
Different talents, Gary. I'm not good at wood. Bernice likes to work with wood. Bernice, mute that. She's about to fall asleep over there. She's watching Hunter. And I just worked Sardinia there, and then turned around and worked New Jersey. National Fire Protection Week's on this week. But, next time you're over, Gary, remind me. I'll show you some pictures of those. I used to go out in different parts of the United States and see that they were set and installed right. And we made cone valves up to 42 inches. They were pretty huge, but we made a lot of them that were, 66 inches. I had one stick open on a reservoir when I went up to set it. The night shift come in and reset it, and it was at the bottom of a dam. And 2 weeks before, a guy got sucked into one of those valves that was just 10 inches. And the indicators up there, the GE guys and the Siemens guys were working on it, said it was closed. And he went down in a diving suit. It was real cold weather. And it sucked him into the valve. And he had a wife and a kid and one on the way, they said. And he drowned. It broke the seal between his helmet and his suit. And then they went and reset that night, and that valve stuck open. And I was just getting ready to leave, and they come screaming up the road. There's 12 inches of snow on the ground in Syracuse, New York. And I had to go up there and reset that valve, and it was over-deflected. Oh, my. And it was 66 inch. You just can't imagine hydrodynamics, how much power is involved in something like that.
I can understand. It doesn't take a whole lot hydro pressure to mount up really, really quick. Years ago, I had to. I was working with a fire hose, and it had a. Oh, the nozzle was about 12 inches long, and it came out of an inch and a half hose. It went down to, oh, I don't know, maybe 3/4 of an inch. And I turned that thing on with just the water pressure and pointed it down at the ground, and it picked me slap up off the ground. So I know about that hydro pressure.
I used to take pictures for the company for their brochures and that, and some of them. And I got quite a few pictures of them. And one of them's Mr. Chow, and they fed. It's hard to imagine a butterfly valve. Now they bought four, I think, 96-inch valves. That 144-inch one weighed 50,000 pounds, if I remember rightly, Gary. But every different company had a different way that these valves set, and they had to have feedback mechanisms to tell them what positions the valves were in up at the control place where they controlled them from. And so I learned a lot there. They used 0 to 20 milliamp things. They used Synchros, Celsons, Magnusons. You remember those on the airplanes, Synchros on the searchlight. The valves were kind of interesting, and I think one of the most interesting places was the Navajo Indian Irrigation Project in Farmington, New Mexico. And it was way out in the middle of the desert, and I went to one out at, we made dam gates that you open dams and close them, and I had to go set those dam gates out in San Angelo, Texas. I was about scared to get out of the car out there for the rattlesnakes. I mean, to tell you, that was the booniest place next to Farmington I've ever been. But, yeah, they were big valves, and there was a lot of metal work there. And we had welders up to 1,500-amp sub-arcs, and the guys actually rode on the welders, if you can imagine that. And the rod that come out of them, the wire, was as big around as your little finger. It was pretty fascinating to watch.
AOS in the Blue Ridge, 2 meter net, but in 0TR, Mr. Tom over in Greer. That would be interesting to watch, Tom. With that big a welder, I can imagine they wouldn't have no little bitty rods. They'd have to be pretty substantial. A little rod with that kind of current and voltage, they wouldn't last but just a heartbeat if they were small. The big ones probably didn't last too long with what they were doing. But, I'm glad that we've got folks like yourself that worked on the dams and have put in the floodgates and bypass valves and all of the other stuff that goes along with it. There's a lot of really interesting stuff inside there, and especially if you don't know anything about it, or at least it would be to me. And those big old valves, they're amazing anyway, you know, the way that they can hold back the water pressure like that or slow it down or whatnot. It's not like the valve in a spigot, but, you know, the butterfly valve's got the way they work is it got pressure on one side and you got pressure on the other side, and it's trying to open it. One side's trying to open it and one side's trying to close it. So, that's you know, the motors that control those things are pretty amazing, too. But I don't know. You've been some places that I hadn't been, Tom. I can put it to you that way.
Well, Chad does some fascinating things with his, and I don't know if you've ever seen subarcs, but they had hand ones, and then the big one, Gary, it was a 1500-amp Lincoln, and the welder was separate from this kingpin and then this cross member on top of it, and it'd go up and down, and the guy rode out on the end of it, and we would bend with our bending rolls a piece that was 12 foot wide and 1.5 or 2 inches thick, and they'd build it into a roll, and then they'd weld prep it, and then they'd make another one, they'd weld prep it, and then they'd put them on a set of rollers and butt them up against each other, Gary, and that guy would ride that welder up above it and come over, and he'd start the rolls down below, and then he'd bring that subarc welder down, and he'd lay a 3/4 inch bead. Oh, I don't know exactly, not being a certified welder, I'd say that bead was probably 1/2 to 3/4 inch thick. But the fascinating thing to me was you could sit there and watch it because the flux was like a sand, and it come around the outside of it instead of a gas, and it just kind of bubbled. And so you didn't have to have any helmet on whatsoever.
I would love to see that in operation sometime. I would not want to operate it, but I'd love to watch somebody operate one.
He just sat there and rode it, and the wire was on great big spools. I think it was, I'm going to guess, 5/32 or something like that. It just looked like bare copper to me, but I'm sure it wasn't. But it was a lot of skilled people there, Gary. Well, I'll let you go. I just wanted to tell you I had one of those drills, and I've seen some big drills. But as to the hand ones go, that half inch is it's a dangerous weapon, but, boy, it's a handy tool. I hope you enjoy enjoying the evening, and I'll talk to you down the line, Gary. Thanks for letting me jump in there. KI4DOS and 0TR73.
Hey, Tom, will you and Miss Bernice have a good evening, what's left of it? Got to get back over that way and visit with y'all a little bit more. Enjoyed it, and next time I come, I'll remind you about the pictures, and we'll go from there. But y'all have a great evening. Thanks for talking with me a little bit. Enjoyed it. Always do. And we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
Good evening, Gary, and everybody on the net. Checking this bunch over here in Tocoe. And we'll start off with November 4, Delta Mike Echo and 4 DME. I'm Paul, what's left of him. It's been a long day and everything. And just trying to get motivated to go to the coffee pot, but I can't get there, Gary. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I guess maybe the spirit will get behind me and I'll make it to the coffee pot and find me something sweet to nibble on before I go horizontal. But anyway, or before the storms get here anyway. Also check in Donald, Alpha Alpha 4 Quebec Sierra, AA4QS. We're both in Dakota tonight. Good evening to everybody on the net. And hope everybody has a good night and stay dry and safe if we get any storms after a while.
4DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to N4DME, Mr. Paul, down there in Tocoa, Georgia. He brings along his dad, Donald, AA4QS. Mr. Donald, he's also in Tocoa. Appreciate y'all being with us tonight. Paul, tell Donald we said hello. And Paul, the only way to get to that coffee pot is to stand up and put one foot in front of the other. You can waddle back and forth if you want to, so you don't have to pick your feet up too much, but that's the only way to get there.
Roger. Well, I did that a few times, I think, maybe. But I ended up finding the wall more than I do the coffee pot. Not running into the wall, but I guess the wall helped hose me up, too. But I'll get there eventually.
Roger.
Oh, man, here I am going back into my old habits, yawning on the radio. But anyway, it's been a long day, trying to get a few things done, but it seemed like every time I turn around, I got to go back to spots and try again. But I tell you, customer service just ain't what it used to be. You know, something that typically would take, you know, having common sense in mine and your era, you know, common sense is... just went to the wayside, apparently. But I've been trying to get some things took care of the last 2 days, and normally it would take 5 minutes to do it, and here it is going on 3 days to get it accomplished. So I guess we'll just get up tomorrow and hope that tomorrow will be a better day than today, and try to get something accomplished that we should have done, you know, 2 or 3 days ago. But it'll all come together in due time, I guess.
Well, you take care, get you some rest, and there's one thing about common sense, it's not common anymore.
I'll be saying that. You're jinxed. Oh, well, it's already jinxed, too, I guess. All right, appreciate it, Gary, and tell Miss Joy said hello, and appreciate all the fine hard work you do for the hobby over there, and all these years you've been calling the net. You know, we're going to have to make you a plaque one of these days if you ever decide to retire from the hobby. Of course, can you really retire from a hobby since it's not really work because you have fun doing it? For all these years, you've been calling the Winston Night Net. I can remember in the early 90s when you used to call it, before I got my technician license. But anyway, appreciate it, Gary. I'll let you get to the coffee pot or back to your easy chair, and I'll talk to you later. N4 DME.
Be sure to tell Donald we said hello. Hope y'all are doing well. Good hearing you tonight, and come back as often as you can. You know we love to have you. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS. Thank most everybody for the time being or for tonight. So we'll submit the net report, and then we'll close the net out. There you have it, folks. We had a grand total of 68 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. You are the net. You make the net. If y'all didn't check in with us each night, the net controllers wouldn't have anything to do but sit here and twiddle their thumbs, I guess. And it sure wouldn't last an hour and 25 minutes. So appreciate y'all being out there, and appreciate you doing it every night. Come back again tomorrow night, Mr. Matt, WG4MC. We'll be calling as best I know and give him a good dose of Rider's Cram. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.